Thank you. I really enjoy the music here at Temple Baptist Church, don't you? Now, I want you to understand something. That music that we have, the music we have at Temple Baptist Church, is not something that we want to appeal to the flesh, but to the spirit. We don't have hip-hop gospel, Christian rap, CCM. We have good godly music that can honor and glorify God, and that draws our spirit, not our flesh. Now, what that means is, here's what that means. Not everybody gets it. Not everybody gets it. And that's okay. But we do. Amen? And we enjoy the worship of our, worshiping our Lord in music. And we want to be very, very careful about what songs we sing. But tonight, boy, it was beautiful, wasn't it? Many different songs to worship Christ. And I just love, that's the thing I love about favorites is we get so many different songs. And I enjoy that. From Victory in Jesus, Sweet By and By, to O Holy Night. Amen. And we enjoy the different, the variety of music, but it all glorifies one God, one Savior. And we're so thankful for that. Acts chapter 3. Last week we talked about such as I have, and how the lame man was healed, and that lame man was healed and right there at the temple as Peter and John were going up to pray, and the lame man was about 40 years old, and when something like that happens, it gets noticed. And we see in verse 11 of Acts chapter 3 that there's some people that took notice. And what that means is that people walked by and knew who this man was. Now, they were walking by him. They knew who he was. They knew where he was. They knew his problem. And it's something how we know a lot of people's problem, but we don't give them the solution. We have the solution. We have Jesus Christ. Many people have problems like the lame man. They need Jesus Christ, and we have that solution. But there were many people that walked by him and saw the problem and saw a need maybe and handed him silver and gold, thought that would help. Handed him money, thought that would help. For 40 years, not one dime changed his life. For 40 years, not one nickel changed this man's life. But when Peter and John came and he said, such as I have, I give thee in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. That changed his life. See, it was Jesus that changed this man's life. And Peter saw the people and how they were gathering around this lame man. And there was one, they were wondering, they were in awe of what just happened. They saw a miracle. Salvation is a miracle, amen? Amen. They saw a miracle and it brought wonder to them. And Peter took that opportunity. Let's pick up reading in verse 12. When Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? I love Peter. Now, Peter's not perfect, but I tell you what, if there was a time to preach, he was at it. I mean, if there was an opportunity to preach the name of Christ, he took that opportunity. He wasn't shy about it, amen? I love Peter. Verse number 13, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob and God of our fathers hath glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Isn't that something? Isn't that backwards? A righteous man condemned to die. A murderer set free. That's something. Sounds like our country. Thousands and thousands and thousands of innocent children put to death. And hundreds of people, felons, let go. And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead. whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him the perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Twice in that verse, the word faith is used. It took faith for Peter and John to look him in the eye and to give him Jesus Christ. And it took faith for that lame man to accept that and to get up and walk. Verse 17, and now, brethren, I want that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Now this is a message that the Pharisees did not want to hear. The Messiah has come. Everything that you've heard in the Old Testament, everything that you heard in the prophets, everything that you've been reading about, it has happened. Jesus Christ came and he died. He was buried and he rose again. In verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Help us now as we look at this scripture. And be with us. Speak through me. Do what I cannot do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want you to focus in on verse 19. The message is very clear. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Now, Peter was speaking and preaching to thousands of people here. It was prayer time. Now, they practiced Christianity, but it wasn't personal to them. There wasn't a relationship with God yet. They didn't believe, they have never heard that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, had come and that he was resurrected. And now Peter and John being witnesses, Peter stands up and preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says, repent ye therefore, change your mind. Change your mind and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. What's he talking about? That word blotted out. It's not talking about for a year and then you have to keep on going back. And you have to keep on going back and back and back. No, no, no. It's blotted out as far as the east is from the west. And then he says, he gives us a phrase. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. What a thought that is. When the times of refreshing shall come. Now, that word refreshing, anapsukis, now that Greek word is a long one for me, okay? I'm going to try it again. Anapsukis, properly, or here's how you say it, recovery of breath. The better word for it is, or the better meaning word for it is revival. A revival. A revival. You're dead, you're revived. Now, someone that needs mouth-to-mouth, and they receive the mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, and they become alive. They have that breath again. They're revived. That's what that word is talking about, refreshing. But he says this, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. What is that talking about? Here's what that's talking about. That time of refreshing, when you accept Christ as your personal Savior, and that Holy Spirit comes in and indwells you, a reviving, it gives life to you. The salvation gives you life at the point of salvation. You don't receive eternal life when you die. You receive eternal life when you get saved, when you accept Christ as your personal Savior. When you bow your head and accept Christ as your personal Savior, that's when you receive eternal life. You have eternal life when you're saved. And the Holy Spirit comes to indwell you. And it's a time of refreshing, time of reviving. And Peter's standing before lost people here. And he's talking about salvation. But I'm standing before saved people. I've been through different services with you. We've had the invitation. I've seen you raise your hand that you're saved. Praise the Lord. But there's a certain revival saved people need too. There's a certain refreshing that us children of God need. And as we look at what Peter is talking about, can we apply this to our lives as a Christian? When the times of refreshing, what is that? In Joel chapter 2 and verse 28, it says, "And it shall come to pass after that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions." Verse 29. "And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids into those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in heavens and in earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke." That's prophecy about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. A time when they were in an upper room and the Holy Spirit came and they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. They were indwelled with the Holy Spirit. And then being filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues. And they saw the church come together. The local New Testament church beginning there. And I will say this. God is the one that set up the local New Testament church. If revival is going to come back to America, it would only be by the Holy Spirit and through the local church. By the Holy Spirit, through the local church. That's God's plan. That's how God works, through a local New Testament church. Now, as we look at this portion of Scripture, how is this refreshing coming on us Christians? How can we have this refreshing? We've already been saved. Hey, listen. Salvation ought to be new to us every day. A salvation isn't just some old thing that we look back and say, "Well, I got saved back when I was 9 years old. I don't even have to remember that anymore," but we do. We do. Here's how we can be refreshed tonight. Remember who we were. Remember who we were. If we look in Acts chapter 3, look at verse number 13, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of the fathers, hath glorified the Son Jesus Christ, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate." He's looking at the faces that raised their voices and said, "Crucify him." The very faces that stood out wanting Jesus Christ to die, wanting to put him to death, denying his deity. Denying him as the Son of God. Denying him as Messiah. These were the people that were denying Christ and saying, "Crucify him. Crucify him." You say, who were we? We're lost. We're lost. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." You see, there's two types of people in the world. There's saved and there's lost. If you're not saved, you are lost. I remember the story of a golfer named Payne Stewart, whose jet crashed in 1999. It appeared that the pilot and co-pilot went unconscious during the flight. The air traffic controller were unable to communicate with the pilots, and two Air Force jets were sent to investigate. And as they pulled alongside Stewart's jet, they could not see any movement in the cockpit. But they could see the windows were fogged up. It appeared that somehow the cabin lost pressure, allowing cold air from the stratosphere in the plane. After the plane ran out of fuel, it plunged to the earth below. One of the pilots that flew alongside the plane said, "It is a very helpless and eerie feeling to pull alongside another aircraft and realize the people inside that aircraft potentially are unconscious or in some other way incapacitated. And there's nothing I can do physically from my aircraft, even though I'm 50 to 100 feet away, to help them at all." Some of you feel that way about your family members. Some of you feel that way about your friends that are lost. Some of you know people. How many of you know someone that's lost? I want you to understand you were there one time. You were there one time. People may have been looking at you, hoping, praying that you might get saved one day, that you would accept Christ one day. You were lost. You were dead. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespass and sins. You were dead. We were dead. The only way we get life is with Jesus Christ. The only way we get life is through the Holy Spirit. We were the enemy of God, Acts chapter 3 and verse 14, but ye denied the Holy One. Ye denied the Holy One. How's that for you? Now who's speaking here? Who's the one talking here? In the faces of the people that denied the Holy One, it's the one who denied him three times. Peter. If anybody could speak to the enemy of God, it would be Peter, who stood by and denied Jesus Christ three times. And that's who we were. Lost, dead, enemy of God. Lost, dead, enemy of God. We were also ignorant. Verse 17, and now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. He's telling them, you guys are ignorant. You were ignorant to what was going on. You were ignorant to the fact this was the Messiah. And there is lost people out there. They are enemies of God. They are dead. They're ignorant to the Word of God, to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, we were there once. We all were. But it's refreshing to know we're not there. See, we can be refreshed with the Holy Spirit, understanding that we were once there, but now we're saved. We need to remember who we are in Christ. 1 John 3, 1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. We are the sons of God. We are the children of God. Thank God for saving us and adopting us into his family. Romans 8, 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. It is refreshing. It is a refreshing spirit, not a spirit of bondage. By grace, through faith in God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 3 and verse 16 says this, and this name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. Now we know what happened. This lame man was sitting there at the gate begging. He was there all his life. I mean, that's what he did. That was his life, going and begging for money. And people gave him money, but Peter and John had Jesus Christ to give. And Peter is saying, it's not in the name of Peter that you get saved. It's not in the name of John that you get saved, but in the name of Jesus Christ. It's not through my power that this man was healed, but it's through the name of Jesus Christ. All power and glory is in Jesus Christ. Isn't that refreshing? Now watch, if it was in our power, we'd mess it up. If it was in my power, I'd mess it up. I would mess it up. We have a new house. I can't tell you how many things I've already messed up in the new house. But I tried, amen. You try to fix this and you try to fix that and now you have a big mess and you can't fix anything and it costs more money. You know how it works. How many fellas know how that works, right? I'm going to make a mess of things if it's me. But it's all in Christ. Remember hearing the story of a Hindu man with matted hair and ash all over his body. He was sitting under a tree. And he was deep in meditation. As he looked over, his eyes fell on the leaves of a torn book, which someone had tossed away. It was part of the New Testament. He smoothed out some of the crumpled paper pages and read words which brought strange comfort to his hungry soul as he meditated. He wanted to hear more about it. He wanted to hear more about this Jesus Christ. He set out to seek for someone who obeyed the book. He found an Englishman who confessed that he obeyed the book, that he was a Christian. The man delighted noticed that the Englishman wore a black band on his arm. and concluded that this was the distinct sign of a Christian, a black band. So he put a black man on his own arm. And when people asked him who he was, he pointed to the black band. He says, "Look, I'm a Christian." Sometime later, the Hindu man wandered for the first time into a church building and listened to a Christian preacher. And at the close, he announced that he too was a follower of this way and pointed to the band as truth. He says, "Look, I got a black man. I'm a Christian." Someone pulled him aside and explained that it was the English sign of death, that some loved one or some friend had died to wear that black band. And the man mused for a moment, then he answered, "But I read in the book that my loved one has died, and I shall wear in memory of him, for he shed his blood for me and he died for me." And the great thing, he grasped the truth of the resurrection. He realized his loved one may have died for him, but he lives, and he lives for him. We must come to the place that we understand we do not have to make that decision over and over and over again, but when we accept Christ as our personal Savior, it's refreshing to know we don't have to do it again and again and again. You say, "Well, Pastor Creed, you believe in eternal security?" Amen. "Do you believe once saved, always saved?" I believe the Bible. Amen. I believe that the Holy Spirit seals us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Get that? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Did you hear that? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and verse 22. I want you to see this. "Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ." All right? Key words. Establisheth us in Christ. What does that mean? I'm saved, amen? I'm saved. I'm a child of the King. And hath anointed us. Who is that? Who did that? It's God. It's God. When you get saved, it's God that saves you. Verse 22, "Who hath also," what's the word? "Sealed us." That seal's better than Ziploc, amen? "And given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." Now watch this. When you accept Christ as your personal Savior, you're saved. What a refreshing moment. I pass from death unto life. I don't keep passing. I'm saved once and for all. The Holy Spirit has come inside me and sealed. He doesn't go back out and come back in, and go back out and come back in. He comes in and stays and lives within us. "What, know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price." That Holy Spirit's in you. Isn't that refreshing? Can't that just revive you? I can't lose that. I was saved at age 9. My son was saved at age 5. You say, "Oh, Pastor Creed, he's just a boy. How in the world?" Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I was skeptic too, till I quizzed him. "You tell me how to get saved. You tell me." He spit it out. And he cried out one night, "Lord, save me. Come to my heart and save me." Isn't that good? Accepted Christ as personal Savior. The Holy Spirit came and lived inside Colton Creed, and he sealed him unto salvation. And Colton can live his whole life saved, a regenerated Christian. And that's refreshing. I remember C.H. Spurgeon went to a meeting and saw there was three people saved. There was two adults, and there were three people saved. He said, there were 2.5 people saved. So what do you mean? 2.5 people saved. You mean there was two adults and one child? He said, no. There's two children and one adult. Two children that have their whole life to give to God. One adult that only has a half the life. See, when you're saved, you got your whole life with Jesus Christ. You're sealed. You're saved. What a refreshing moment that is. A time of refreshment when the Holy Spirit comes into our life and we're sealed. Now, that word sealed in verse 22, I want you to get this. Have you ever been to a fair, right? Where they stamp your arm. And the stamp comes up and it says the word paid. That's what that's talking about. Every go by, I've paid. Someone has paid my price. I'm sealed. That's what it's on. That's the idea it gives us. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. We are saved forever. We also ought to remember where we're going. Remember who we were, who we are, and where we're going. That's a refreshing time, isn't it? You ever just sit down and meditate on who you were, who you are, and where you're going? What a reviving time you can have with the Lord. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Revelation 21, verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." We are going to heaven. Amen. For John chapter 14, "Let not your heart be troubled." Be revived. Don't get down. Remember where you're going. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Now, this is the best part of the whole verse. Are you ready? "That where I am, there ye may be also." The greatest thing about heaven is Jesus is there. Our Savior. We're going to get to see Jesus. We talked about him this morning. He rode in on a donkey. Throughout this week, we're going to be studying him in our family devotions, aren't you? How that Jesus came and died and was buried and rose again. And next week, we'll be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But one day, we're going to get to see him face to face. Amen? And that's sweet by and by. Thank you, Lisa. Sweet by and by. What a beautiful song that was we sang tonight. "Let not your heart be troubled. That where I am, there ye may be also." Sunday school teacher was teaching a young 5-year-old class, and he started asking them questions. "Is if I sold my house and my car and had a big garage sale and gave all my money that I earned to the church, would that get me to heaven?" Boy, there was a big no, 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 no. "If I cleaned the church every day, mowed the yard, and kept everything neat and tidy, would that get me to heaven?" The children said, "No, no, no, no." "Well, then if I was kind to animals and gave candy to all the children and loved my wife, would that get me to heaven?" And the answer was, "No, no, no, no," all over the room. As he began to think, we got little theologians in this classroom. He said, "Well, then how can I get to heaven?" A little 5-year-old boy stood up and sat and shouted, "You got to be dead." And I want to tell you, it is reviving to think about heaven. And the fact is, when we get to be with Jesus in heaven, we'll be more alive than we ever have been on earth. What a refreshing time to think about who we were. A lost sinner, enemy of God, dead in our trespasses and sin. Who we are, saved, child of God, child of the King, regenerated, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and where we're going, to a place called heaven. A beautiful place where Jesus will be. I know we have days off, teachers. Sometimes days off are not very refreshing. But I pray that you'll get revived knowing who you are and where you're going.